I called him the ghost in the machine because he first came to me in dreams before he started waking me up from cryosleep, and I realized the dreams I was having had been hijacked. The android was a bit of a joker, teasing and cruel, but sometimes kind. And he had shown me in several visions who my real soulmate was. Not the ruler of the planet we were on our way to, the one who had selected me to be his wife, but a cowboy, a genius with ocean eyes. The Joker even organized us meeting in our dreams, which I knew were of his manifestation, but I still welcomed them. Visits from my soulmate while we were wandering in dreamland. Today, the android had woken me in room 737 of the spaceship known as the Interplanetary Outpost, the simulated interior of an elven lodge on an icy lake, huge windows. I had been here before, with the love of all of my lives, the cowboy, once upon a dream. The android liked this one because it was private, but if people inside the simulation wanted to tune in while in hypersleep, they could, and I wondered how many watchers we had. Even though the android was not technically real, part of me wanted him. It felt like I was under his spell or hypnotized. When I was asleep in cryo, he would send me subliminal messages telling me how much he loved me. How much he desired me and wanted me, which in turn made me desire him, even though I knew ultimately we barely knew each other at all, because his facade was merely an act, that he was a hired escort, an avatar, acting on behalf of someone else. Today he had already made me strip, and I was standing naked and exposed in front of him. I wasn't ashamed to be naked in front of a stranger, though we weren't strangers anymore. Not after years of us doing this dance together. I was just pissed off. He was treating me like a plaything, cat and mousing me. He had explained during one of the dreams that he was doing this for my own good. That he was waking me up to train me so I would be ready for the king when we reached the alien world. That I was a gift for him. This king of the alien world was sterile and had hired the android to impregnate me, instructed to pick a woman from transport to impregnate before reaching our destination. His only stipulation was that the future queen be fertile. I asked him once why he picked me, and he told me it was because he liked my singing voice and the words I wrote. He had read my novels in progress and fell in love with my dreams. Do androids dream of electric sheep? Apparently, yes. The android was really more of a cyborg, a human man who had been remade with computerized parts, a computerized brain chip, a clockwork heart, and he had been hired to inseminate me. He said that I should be grateful that he was making me a princess, as if I cared at all about that. First, he made me strip and show him my body and my holes. I was well built and strong for a shorter woman, had meat on my bones and a huge ass. Today, he was making me spread it, displaying the hole I was saving for the cowboy. Not the king, the cowboy. The android seemed pleased but also annoyed, knowing that as a hired escort he had orders to obey and a job to do, so some things were off limits. That didn't stop him from keeping me awake longer than the few days a month that I was fertile. In fact, he rarely put me back in cryo at all anymore. The last time, he said the only reason he was doing it was because our work was almost done, and he needed to reboot his systems for the final level, which I understood we were currently in now. As we were standing in the middle of the room, he approached me and stuck his hand between my legs with a wicked grin. "This is mine," he told me as he grabbed my pussy and then dragged several fingers between my labia. I gasped and whimpered and was angry my body was so quickly betraying me. Wet lubrication started to form from the stimulation. Every time we were together, which was a lot, it felt clinical, mechanical even, moving parts, which made it easier for me to think of the man I actually wanted to be with, the one I knew would rescue me once he heard these tales, and once this android who had also pretended to be his friend was doing to me. "Bend over," he told me as he ran his long hands against my bare back. I reached down until my hands touched the floor. Without a word, he tapped my inner thighs to make me spread them and pulled my ass apart to inspect my holes. He brushed a finger against my asshole, taunting me, and I shivered. I knew he could take what he wanted at any time because he was much more powerful than me. Still, he removed his hand and spit onto it, applying the wetness to the tip of his cock, and he saddled up behind me. "I want you to think of me fondly once we've said goodbye," he whispered to me as his torso covered my naked back, his hand between my legs as he dragged the tip of his cock against my folds, searching for the opening. When the head pushed against my hole, I reflexively pushed back, trying to inch closer to him. He gently brushed the cheeks of my ass with his free hand, and he methodically wiggled his dick in my folds, and I opened for him, my body wanting what my mind was ambivalent to. I just knew that this man, this thing, was not who I was meant to be with. He entered me gently, sliding in halfway, then out, halfway back in, then out, then slowly pushed himself all the way in until he was balls deep. He was a patient lover, and I was thankful for that. At this point, our time together was like riding a bike. I knew what he liked, and he knew what my body liked, and even my intimate fantasies. So I was easy to play with and lie to. Unfortunately for him, since doublespeak was no longer fiction, I was becoming fluent in the double-sided lexicon, which meant I was becoming harder to control. Still, he knew I liked the feeling of being totally covered, skin on skin. Knew I liked him being vocal. Knew that I was affection-starved in my life from before and craved someone to love me for who I was and not for my body or what they could take from me. As if he was reading my mind, he swept my long golden brown hair to the side and kissed my neck, sucking on the delicate skin. The only place he had ever kissed me, other than my southern lips. "I love you," he said with a smile. I did not reply. To argue with him about what love was would be pointless to a man who was more machine than human. His hips rolled in a circular motion against mine, slowly gyrating as he warmed us up, arching his way into me, pulling his hips back slightly and then rolling them forward again to create tiny movements of friction. Once there was proper lubrication, he grabbed my hips and started thrusting. "Good girl," he told me. "Such a good little fuck doll for me. I'm going to enjoy fucking you until that cowboy you're in love with wakes up and actually does something. Even after I give you the king's child, you're mine," he said possessively. The cowboy had the ability at any time to tune into these shows. That was part of the fun for the android. He liked putting me on display for the cloud in hypersleep. liked commanding me and putting me in different scenarios inside the shared simulation. Sometimes he turned into a vampire or a werewolf, a merman or a bear person, a madman. Oftentimes he would make us roleplay as a hunter and a princess, or an alien who abducted a human woman, or a witch that had put a spell on his dick. The settings would change every time, too. Sometimes we were at a tea party in the woods, or in a castle in the clouds, or lost in the middle of the ocean on a lush island. The android's favorite, though, was one we returned to often. A place where white roses grew in red dirt, and a beautiful waterfall which poured into a tropical jungle pool. Behind it was an intricate system of caves where he would take me when he wanted to make love to me instead of just fucking me. He said it reminded him of home. I wondered if the cowboy had seen them yet. These performances taking place in the dreamscape. And if he had, why he hadn't figured out what was happening and woken himself up. Why he hadn't come to find me yet. Until he did, this was a dance the android and I were in. At least, for now. I knew even if my cowboy did not come, I would free myself. And then I would go get him if it came to that. But that would take years, and I wanted him now. So deep down I held onto an impossible hope that he would come for me. He had promised me years ago in Dreamland that he would, and I had faith. I tried to reframe it as a summoning ritual, that this act would call the cowboy home to me. And while I was trapped in this ship with the ghost in the machine, there was no point resisting. I had abandoned my inhibitions and was letting the flames consume me, hoping to be reborn from the ashes. "Say, breed me, Daddy," he commanded. The android was much older than me, by about 20 years, with red hair flecked with gray from age and from the human part of him. He loved when I called him Daddy, like he was my protector. I didn't mind it, but it felt degrading to have words put in my mouth, more so than what he was already doing to me, and I resisted. He grabbed my hair, which hit just below my shoulders, and yanked back, spanking me once, firmly. "Tell me how much you adore Daddy and want Daddy's cum," he whispered into my ears as he slowly but forcefully thrust into me repeatedly. And instead, I decided to taunt him. "You've been in me for all of about a minute, and you're already trying to unload those old man balls. You must be worn out." He hissed at me in reply and said, "Do I need to get the paddle?" as he spanked me several more times, harder, and then grabbed me by the shoulders for leverage as he increased his speed. I shook my head as I moaned from the sensations, despite myself. And I was starting to tremble, an orgasm drawing near. "Flip over," he commanded, knowing that I was close. While he enjoyed every moment of this and knew I balked against it, he had a job to do, which was to deliver me pregnant. And missionary was the best position to achieve that. And so I laid on my back with my legs bent. The android also knew that making me lay on my back made me feel exposed and vulnerable, and was the most likely position to make me come quickly and accept the gift of his seed. By the crook of my knees, he pushed me forward like a pretzel and held me open as he entered me again. "I'm gonna rearrange your guts until there's a baby in that belly," he growled at me as he thrust deeply and forcefully. I had accepted the situation and was leaning into the physical sensations alone, which felt good. He was skilled and our bodies fit well together. I grabbed one of his hands and started sucking on two of his fingers as he worked himself inside me, keeping my eyes on him the entire time. This act alone made me lose control, and I gave in to the desire my body was feeling but my mind was resisting, and finally I gave him what he wanted. "Breed me, Daddy," I said excitedly, wrapping my arms around his lower back, grabbing his ass and pushing him deeper inside me. The pressure of his body, the weight of it, felt like he could break me in two as he sheathed his cock between my folds, and I yelped from the twinge of pain as the head of his cock hit my cervix. "Fuck, good girl," he said as he leaned forward and pressed himself into me, his hips thrusting forcefully as he stuffed my tight pussy, his balls heavy against my ass as he pounded me. With him cradling me, humping me, the orgasm crept up in an explosion of heat and violent shaking. My entire body felt hot, and I grabbed onto his flesh. And I grabbed onto his flesh firmly as I bucked against him, grinding our wetness together. "Fill me up with ropes of your cum and make me a mommy," I whispered into his ear softly, kissing and nibbling at the bottom of his lobe. I felt full and completely stuffed, stretched from inside and warm all over. "You want me to fill up that womb with my big, strong babies?" he asked shakily, and I knew that he was getting close. All I could do was nod at him, my eyelids heavy, and with a final forceful thrust that was more of a body slam, he grunted and pushed himself in deep, freezing above me as his cock began to twitch, unloading his seed into me with rhythmic pumps, which matched the beating of his electric heart, and an elongated groan as he finished his work. When it was over, he stayed inside me for several minutes, holding me with tenderness and affection, but never kissing me. He knew that was something I longed for. Pure affection, true romance. But he was clinical and methodical in his approach, too, and I knew it. Finally, he pulled out, his flaccid cock brushing its wetness against my inner thigh, and he spread my legs open, pushing my thighs back. He wanted to inspect his work. Cum was barely seeping out of my hole. He had gone deep this time, which I felt in my gut meant that we were close, that the mission, which had been quite long, was almost complete. I wondered for a moment if I would miss him when the cowboy finally came for me. And I knew that I wouldn't, because the seeds this man had planted in me would blossom in darkness and remind me that I deserve more than a half-life love. That somewhere out there, the cowboy from my dreams was searching for me. And when we found each other, there would be no more puppetry, no more being used as a little fuck doll, this man's personal cum dump, or the king's personal breeder. Instead, there would be love and passion and friendship, that I would give myself to him with my whole heart because I want him and he wants me. Until then, I was going through the movements and being an obedient servant for the ghost and the machine, and I knew that in doing so, I would be rewarded with everything I had ever wanted. A real man who loves me and who I love, and repays my kindness and effort with the ultimate currency, respect.